brought to you by Prescient Investment Management. Informed by science, guided by insight. Prescient Investment Management is an authorized FSP.
Welcome. Today is a really interesting episode for me because we're at how investment managers and these fund managers who, you know, the kind of big pools of money, both in South Africa and around the world, how they can impact the world and how they can impact, you know, big trends that maybe we don't always think about as investors. You know, a lot of the time when we're looking at shares, we're looking at a particular share or a particular index. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't really matter what the instrument is. And we're always wondering, you know, how do I, if I buy my, you know, top 40 index or I buy a general equity unit trust, how does that help me if I want to kind of create jobs or I want to put new energy into the world or change the way that companies are treating their staff or, you know, governments are running businesses, et cetera. You know, I thought it's an important topic. I'm by no means an expert on this. So I needed to bring in an expert. And so I'm glad to have Conway Williams, he is a fund manager and he heads up the funds that do portfolio investments into infrastructure. And I'm going to let Conway explain what that means. But Conway, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me into the show this morning and good morning to everyone.
So perhaps just to give us a bit of background on what you do and how that kind of fits into the...
So I think the very simple answer in terms of what we do is we provide capital to various projects that are either infrastructure related or normal capital type projects, or just general funding to your normal company on this, that actually requires capital or funding for various opportunities, for various projects, or just for general purposes. So if you're thinking just on the infrastructure side, we could provide funding to wind farms, to solar farms, to SMMEs, and we do that all through our various infrastructure funds that we manage.
So, I mean, just very basically for someone like me, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, you know, we're living with stage 4, 5, or 6 kind of load shedding. And on the other side, you're sitting there and, well, you know, as someone who looks after money for individuals and pension funds and biggie, that might represent both a solution for a country, but also an investment opportunity.
So that's quite true. And I think while blackouts make electricity supply and usage very topical, we also provide financing to other areas that actually contribute meaningfully to the economy. So I know the first question was on Eskom and whether Eskom can provide us with electricity. What we're doing in that regard is providing finance under the South African REAP program, which is a government strategic investment program to allow renewable energy to be provided to the grid. Obviously, there are pros and cons with every sort of project or process. But the positives here is that we're using natural resources as opposed to carbon intensive type resources, using the sun, using the wind to actually create electricity. And then over time, let that become a more meaningful contributor to what you and I use on a daily basis. At this stage, obviously, it's not as meaningful as it should be, but we're hoping that through our contribution and our pooling of private sector money and then working very closely with government, that we can actually move to a COP26, 27 type approach where we have more renewable energy as a contribution to our energy usage process.
So, I mean, for me, as someone sitting on the sidelines, how would I access an investment like that? You know, when you're a portfolio manager, so that tells me that you're managing a fund. Is it something I can actually invest in? Is there a mechanism for me?
We have created mechanisms for the man in the street to invest in our infrastructure projects or products that ultimately invest in infrastructure projects. And we also do that for people, even though you might not know that we are doing it. So for example, we access institutional money. So whether you've got a retirement savings, a pension fund, or a provident fund, a portion was most likely going to be allocated to infrastructure investing. And I think if you want to understand why that happens, it's just a natural asset liability match. You need to retire in 20, 30, 40 years. These projects are 10, 20, 30, 40 years in nature. And you get a project that actually contributes meaningfully to the economy and the economic growth of the South African context. So by you investing in our products and then us investing in these projects, it's just a perfect match. You get a street that doesn't have potholes. You get tolls that work, streets that work. You get lighting, you get electricity. You get SMMEs that are provided with finance and they can't actually even access finance. We fill that gap. And that is a great, I suppose, match when you, if you're looking long term, if you want to understand that one day you can retire comfortably, one day your children or your children's children can actually live in a better country. These products and ultimately the projects that we invest in do that for you. And you, without you even knowing it, you probably invested in various projects already. You just have to ask your, I suppose, your trustee or your manager or your personal advisor what you've invested in, and you will see that it is an infrastructure angle or tinge to your portfolio already.
So there are two things that I really want to touch on around this, which is one, you've mentioned SMMEs a few times. So I want to come into that. And then also around job creation. So we're going to come to those now. But one of your other jobs, because you don't like being bored, is you. So the reason why I'm mentioning that is when you're doing these investments and you're, I mean, I guess a head of credit is paid to look at what could go wrong and then to try and manage those so that you and your investors don't lose money. So when you're saying,
yeah,
you know, that you know, a 30-year time horizon on object and then creating investments that can invest, you know, for that 30-year time horizon, this is not charity, right? This is actually ultimately it's for the good of the country, but for the investor, they're there to make money and they're going to make money while helping.
So I think that's a very important thing, the point that you just touched on, is that we apply a responsible investing lens to whatever we do, whether it is for our infrastructure funds, our clean energy funds, our high-yield credit funds, or our more vanilla-type funds. Responsible investing is at the heart of what we do. So what does that mean? It's simply that we have a qualitative understanding of risk, a measurement of risk, and a quantitative, very importantly, we are quantas, a quantitative assessment of actual cash flows and the likes. We provide capital to entities in a manner that combines quantitative and qualitative assessment. That's very, very important. And very importantly, we make sure that we earn commercial returns for our clients while actually investing in various projects, be it an infra project or a normal vanilla project, which again, definitions mean that we actually can compartmentalize the two. But if we just talk on infrastructure investing, or we talk on SME, or even the wind and solar example that we chatted about right a couple of seconds ago, these have long-term benefits for the economy, for the man on the street. We are able to do so without compromising return. And we've been able to prove that through all of our products or our ESG or our responsible investing type products that we have been managing for quite some time now. We don't compromise returns, but we make a meaningful impact. It's not our job to be a developmental financier. We want to take care of our client needs. And one of our client needs is to make sure that they can retire safely. The other is that they can make a meaningful impact when they invest in this project. So, again, a perfect marriage of two.
Yeah.
Making an impact and earning a return so you can retire.
And I think that's an important, you know, we're not all saying that, when, you know, as an end investor like myself, I'm not there to make money at any cost. I don't want to destroy the environment. I don't want to, you know, the future generations of tobacco smokers or whatever the deal is, or polluters, whatever it is. But at the same time, I do need to retire one day and I do need to live off my investments and I do need to grow my capital. And so what I'm hearing from you, this is a combination of the two. It's all that this is not, you can for the good of the world and not make money, or you can only make money and then you're destroying the world. There is an alternative, which is you can do things which align with your personal values, if these are your personal values, and make money.
Yes, that is completely correct, because you are creating 5,000 jobs, but it does count to your ESG score, which ultimately over time means you get a better funding cost from us,
okay,
which then means money to be made by shareholders. But again, we're contributing across the entire value chain to make sure that we provide capital, which is not always available for players to obtain, but we do it in a responsible manner and we get paid for the risk we take, because there is risk in this. We're not buying government bonds here.
Yeah.
We're investing in real projects that have risk.
And anyone that's bought a Greek government bond over the last 50 years would say that that's very risky. So let's look at two, I'm going to call it business. And so, you know, it's kind of a drum beat that our politicians love to beat, is to say, yes, we, you know, we need to get involved in small business, and small, yep, business needs to grow. But that actually doesn't mean anything as far as I'm concerned until there is capital being allocated to these small businesses. I mean, kind of, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds to me like you're saying part of the mandate of where you are is you can actually find mechanisms to invest and fund small businesses.
That is correct. I'm just going to take you one step back and I'm going to give you a bit of research that we've done. We are a data house after all. So our research shows that there are probably about just under 3 million SMMEs out there, but roughly 40% of that is considered formal. So there's a massive informal market of SMMEs. We try to play in more of the formal space. Two-thirds of these 3 million are probably owner-run, and they each one of these create between 1 and 10 jobs, roughly 50% thereof. If we go back 10, 15 years, the contribution by the SMME space to the South African economy was roughly 10%. It is now shot up to about 40%.
Wow.
So you can understand the impact that SMMEs make, not only from a growth perspective, which is the numbers that you see on the sheet at the end of the day, but also in terms of employment. Our employment stats, if we're looking at official or unofficial, it is horrendous. You're looking at 35, 40, even 50%. If you're looking at youth unemployment, two out of every three youth classified in the 18 to 35 space is unemployed. 60, 70% of youth unemployment. So the SMME space in its own has a massive potential to bridge the gap in terms of what government needs to happen to move from a unemployment type state to an employed state, to change our Gini coefficient from 60, 70% to 40, 50. So if you can understand what the importance of the sector is, you can understand why we're looking at it. And again, another rationale for us looking at it is that the formal channels that provide capital to the SMME space can't take this risk or not willing to take this type of risk. Whereas we are a tad bit more flexible. I won't say that the other formal sectors aren't, but we can look through the noise, do these smaller type deals that actually have massive impact. So when I say that, I'm saying we would do a 10, a 1, a 10, a 15, a 20, 50 million rand deal. It sounds massive, but if you think of in the formal space, we're doing 200, 500, a billion rand type deals. We'll do those deals. And the multiplier effect in that space is actually tremendous. And when doing those deals, we're earning massive commercial returns. And we've got a host of examples of deals that we have done or transactions that through partners that we've worked with actually facilitate growth in the SMME space. And it's actually been a great journey because not only are we able to provide capital, we're able to assist these SMMEs and the owners with actual resources, networks, partners that they can, and you actually see that growth from 1 to 10 employees to 203 employees over a period of time. So it's actually very fulfilling while earning that commercial return, which we spoke about at the end of the day. It's a great.
And I know you were saying here that a lot of the time, some of this is already happening in the background. So if someone's invested in a retirement fund, portion of their retirement fund capital might already be allocated to kinds of projects. But just very practically for kind of someone who says, okay, I've got, you know, my 1,000 Rand a month or 10,000 Rand, or I mean, are there unit trust vehicles that they can look at that says, okay, this is where I can allocate that money to actually, what's the category of unit trust that they're looking at? Or what's the name of the, you know, how do they go and Google the product to say, okay, this is the universe that I'm looking for? What are they looking to find?
I think the best way to explain is that anything from your 1,000 to 5,000 Rand that can be invested, there are products available. For example, if you go onto our website, you'll see what the forms are, what the minimum requirements are. There's even an ability to check what sort of risk tolerance you have. Because I think the important part is before you jump in with both feet in terms of investing in infrastructure, you have to see if this meets your risk tolerance. So it might meet your moral and ethical requirements in terms of improving the state. But do you have that risk tolerance? So chat to your personal advisor and say, you've got an appetite for infrastructure. Which sort of infrastructure vehicles work best? Is it an ETF? Is it a direct prescient type fund? Or is it a investment via your pension fund and the likes? And you can, they'll very easily be able to do that assessment for you and then direct you accordingly.
Okay.
But again, we are very cognizant of risk. And in just in jumping in and investing, I don't think that's probably the best thing to do. But if you ask those questions, they will clearly flag our funds, which have had a stellar couple of years. And I have to do that. But again, I'm very passionate about the infrastructure space. So while returns and performance has been great, it's actually the impact that we've created. And like even in the renewable energy space, we've invested in what, 22 projects. We haven't had a single default in any of those projects. We've created meaningful jobs in rural areas. This is Dar. This is far northwest, it's in the Eastern Cape, places that don't really have the ability to create their own jobs. We've brought certain jobs to them. What they have in their favor is they have the resources in those areas, as in the sun is shining, the wind is blowing at the appropriate speeds. So now with that in place, and we bring transport, we bring community centers, schools, all of that as part of the process or the projects that are being put up. It's job creation, it's impact, all of those type of things. So it's really an impassioned plea to consider infrastructure investing in your portfolio and ask the hard questions.
Yeah.
Because we're doing great things behind the scenes.
And I think it's important that we often get this impression that the world of money is on a computer screen and it's numbers being quoted at you in the media, et cetera. But what you're telling me, and I think it's important, is that actually eventually it gets right down to physically on the ground. You can actually see money creating jobs, creating a better future for all of us. And it's important that, you know, we hear all these things like, you know, the bid window for renewable energy was closed and some project has been funded and financed. But what you're saying is, actually, that means a wind turbine, and not just one, but lots of them, went up in a town called, or near a town called Da'ar. Lots of jobs were created there. People ever, you know, if they look after those will be job creation vehicles that will help more people go to school, more people, our whole grid gets better. And this is stuff that's happening already all around us. It's not just some news article that some, you know, American funder is just making money off our country. These are our money with our money.
Exactly. And the clients into our funds are generally South African clients. And their in clients is the man in the street. And that's South African individuals investing in those. So they're getting the returns. They're actually making a meaningful impact in their lives, whether it is temporary jobs during a construction phase, which then transfer into permanent jobs over time, or it's simply the fact that now there's a hospital or school put up in that region that wasn't before. Oh. So that is why, if you're just looking at the role of the private sector working hand in hand with government, these are really a lot of positives that are happening behind the scenes that we don't always see in sensationalist media, which I call.
Yeah.
But
and maybe that's a point, is, you know, someone like me that tries to kind of filter the hype from the real news, even like we're not getting that, you know, I don't see that actually, I just get so frustrated. I think government's doing nothing, you know, they talk and they do nothing. But what you're saying is you can actually see it. You can quantify it on a balance sheet and an income statement, but physically with your own eyes, you can go there and look at it and see things are happening. Things are maybe not fast enough. Not
yes.
We could all go faster.
It's maybe not happening at the pace that everyone wants it, including us, should be happening, but it is happening. And I think for us to actually accelerate change in the country, it has to happen at a faster pace. But the only way we're going to do it is if investment vehicles such as ours or our post-sister and brother type funds down the street are doing the same thing. More capital comes into the system, more discussions and, I suppose, proper consultations with National Treasury and government. We can facilitate change because we are in a very precarious position as a country.
Yeah.
We all know that. That is the honest truth. But again, these type of initiatives, be it renewable energy, be it SMME development, be it just general infrastructure outlay for water sanitation, they can be meaningful change that is made. And that is what we, myself and my co-portfolio manager, Lazuko, that is what we are passionate about. People always ask, why would you want to do deals at these type of returns when you can buy a government bond at 11 or 12%? And I'm saying, yes, that does help. Yes, that is a return-orientated focus. But look at the meaningful returns that we do achieve, the meaningful impact that we make, and also the lack of volatility in our funds compared to government bond-type funds, which is a very important selling point for us. If you look at our performance of our portfolios, and this is a general infrastructure trend, it's shown by Moody's, it's shown by the research houses, and it's not me just selling our funds. It's that the infrastructure assets have a lower probability than general assets. They're uncorrelated with your normal traditional markets. And even during the height of COVID, the actual uncertainty and volatility or potential default that we thought would have come through actually didn't come through. So it's actually we understand the risk of these projects. Again, I'm saying it's not riskless, but we understand the risk and shown that these type of projects actually have quite a low PD profile over time while having great returns. And that is in the South African context, the African context, and we actually have better default probabilities, which is lower default probabilities than the actual developed world when it comes to our infrastructure projects, which if you didn't know, you would assume that a project in the United States or in the UK would actually be fair better than ours. No, we get better returns, and we have better risk measures than the developed world, which is something that will blow man in the street's mind.
Yeah, it's a powerful message. I think, you know, and I'm tying with Conway because we've got my favorite question to you. You meet your 21-year-old self. What would be the one lesson you would like to give yourself with the benefit of your experience of life since then? But so while you're thinking about that, I think it's an important point that you've made, and I can hear the passion kind of coming through around infrastructure. And so I think it's really valuable that, you know, an investor needs to do homework around this to say, okay, I can't go and take all my money and put it all into infrastructure because that's a lot of eggs then in one basket. But certainly that it should be one of the baskets in which you invest. I think that's and you should be doing your homework on this. You should be asking questions, doing your research to say, how do I allocate capital to this? If your retirement fund, if you work for a big company and you ask your retirement fund and they say, we don't do it, it's kind of something you need to be asking real questions about is why not? You know, you can change our country and make us money. So I think it's a real push to kind of just, you know, we all need to wake up about this and say we can make money. The futures of our fellow South Africans, those that don't have jobs, they can get access to jobs. They can get access to funding for, we get more power. All of these are positive things. So it's worth homework to find out how you can access this as an investment type, and then keep nudging and don't be quiet. You know, be vocal about this. If your company's not, your company rent fund's not doing this, you know, don't sit back. You know, push for it. It's your money and it's your future as well. So I think it's a really powerful message, and I appreciate your time, Conway. And so to question the one thing you'd love to have a conversation with your 21-year-old self to say, this is.
It's something I didn't prepare for, but in just thinking about it, again, we are numbers guys out here at Prescient. If you read 12 books a year and you're reading from the age of 8, 9 years old till you're about 60, you can probably read 600-700 books a year, right? I mean, sorry, 600-700 books over your lifetime. So start early, start reading as much as you can, absorb as much information as possible, because there's a host of information out there that can open your mind to numerous things, and you can just learn by reading. So it's probably been read more as a 21-year-old, probably travel a bit more. But then also, because I've always been investment-minded, start investing early. The power of compound interest is truly amazing. I only started with very, very small amounts. I didn't have much at 20, 21, but try to see where you can find some money and invest. The difference between starting and investing when you're 21 versus investing when you're 30, 40 years old is massive.
I think it's two powerful points there: is invest your money and invest in your brain, you know, and keep building both. So Conway Williams, thanks so much for joining us. It was a real pleasure. I've been in the world of money for more than 30 years, and I actually learned a lot today, and I really appreciate your time. I look forward to chatting to you again in the future.
Thank you very much.
Brought to you by Prescient Investment Management.